Hi, everybody. This is Charlene Bollinger with The Truth About Cancer and The Truth About Vaccines Films, coming to you today with a very special guest, Dr. Jerome Corsi. Thank you for joining me and welcome.
Charlene, it's great to be with you. Thank you very much.
Wow, we have so much to talk about. I don't even know where to begin. First of all, tell our viewers a little bit about yourself and what you're doing.
Well, I'm pretty well known to most people. I'm an author and a commentator, political reporter, investigator. My website's CorsiNation.com, CorsiNation.com. I've written something like 25 books since 2004. A couple of them have been number one New York Times bestsellers. 2004, it was the Swift Boat book, which I co-authored with John O'Neill. It was called Unfit for Command. I wrote in 2008, The Obama Nation. My current book's hardcover book is A Coup d'Etat, and that's about exposing the treason against President Trump to remove him from office and the plan to reelect him. And I've got a couple ebooks which are doing very well on Corsi Nation. One is the plan to remove Donald Trump from the presidency. And the other is COVID-20, which is the next virus I think will hit us before the end of the year. And those can be directly bought and downloaded right from my website, CorsiNation.com. And there are all my videos. I'm doing a lot of videos, a lot of content on many different things. TeleMD program, which allows you to have a phone conversation with the MD who's licensed in your state. And you can talk about anything you want, but also they can talk about hydroxychloroquine and zinc with this azithromycin, Dr. Zelenko's protocol for COVID. And, you know, we're not selling drugs, but if the doctor believes it's in your needs, including for prevention, they can go ahead and prescribe it. So there's a lot on that website. Doing a lot. I'm very concerned about the inflation. And we have a Swiss America gold and silver with some very great offers on. I want people to have gold and silver, not just fiat dollars in their pocket, going into what we think is going to be the next really difficult economic period. So that's really my background, who I am, and where you can find me.
Wow. So what don't you do? That's the question.
Well, there's lots I don't do.
Well, you know, Doctor, the first time I talked to you, it wasn't long ago. We had a call with a team of prayer leaders talking about the state of the nation. Dr. Judy Mikovits was on that call, a very good friend of mine. We featured her in our films, in our live events, on stages. On our stages, that's where she revealed what was happening behind the scenes and with Fauci specifically. I think that was in 2019, but she started talking originally on our stage 2016. That was the first time she was telling the truth publicly about what she had been through because she had a gag order for so long. And so she started talking at that point. She's an amazing woman. As you know, she's turned down their bribes of millions of dollars and her life was ruined. And they said they would do that. They would ruin her life if she went and talked. And she said, but I have to. And she's a real hero. That's the very definition of a hero. Turning down the world's goods, which in my estimation, what good are they without freedom and integrity? So she took the high road, and I believe that her wealth is great in heaven. And that's what counts, and that's for eternity. But back to the wealth of this world.
I have interviewed her, by the way, on my channels as well, CorsiNation.com, and I think she is also a heroine. She deserves great credit for her courage, her morality, and I think she's extremely intelligent. And I hope to be doing. And by the way, as soon as I put up the interview, YouTube and Vimeo took it down. So you know she's saying something that is critical to hear because she frightened the deep state establishment just by telling her truth.
Absolutely. And it's the truth that sets us free. But the Bible tells us, my people perish for lack of knowledge. She's armed with the truth. And they've also taken our videos down. We had a roundtable discussion, Doc, with Andy Wakefield, Bobby Kennedy, Del Bigtree, Sherry Timpenny and Judy Mikovits, part one and part two. They took part two down. They took various interviews that I've done, you know, a conversation with just Judy and myself. They come in and take it down. So we've got it on Brighteon. By the way, Brighteon, we shared those videos on our Instagram. And we know Facebook has taken a hardline stand against Brighteon. Mike Adams is a good friend of ours. He's doing great work. He's got that platform. It's a freedom platform. Facebook said no videos, even in private messages, from the Brighteon channel because they're hosting Plandemic. And that's a big no-no in today's culture and hostile environment against the truth. So on our Instagram page, we included in our link tree a link to a Brighteon video to Judy because YouTube took it down. So we still wanted them to have access to that video on Instagram. And so Instagram immediately censored our Instagram page. We couldn't write descriptions or comments, and we tracked it down to that Brighteon link. And I'm in discussions right now with Mike Adams. In fact, he just texted me about how, you know, what we can do. But Mike, he's fearless like we are. He's got the platform for freedom. And Facebook literally said to him, if you take down all the Plandemic videos on your platform, we'll let those Brighteon videos appear again on Facebook. But he has spent so much time and money and all of his heart in this platform that he said, I didn't build this so that I could be bullied and hide the truth. This is for the truth. And so none of the other stuff matters. If I cave, what good is it? So we stand with him. Judy is a hero and they're censoring her voice, but it's still being heard. They can't stop us, and the momentum is ours.
Well, I've pretty much been the same way. I mean, I've been controversial since I began writing. As soon as you're not going to go along with the deep state narrative, you're a threat. And they want to keep people in the not in the know. They want to keep feeding people the, you know, the MSNBC and the CNN narratives. And increasingly, what we are watching is political drama and political staged events that are designed to produce certain effects. And the people who are staging them, the manipulators of public opinion, the deep state managers have gotten to be quite skillful at it. And that's what I've been trying to expose. I think this book I've written on the plan to remove Donald Trump from the presidency, or this COVID-20, are very directly challenging, because I'm explaining that, you know, for instance, the Russiagate, Ukraine, and now the Black Lives Matter violence in the streets, all these things fit together. It's one episode after another, the reaction to COVID-19, shutting down the economy, the Democratic governors not wanting to start up the economy. All these things are engineered and calculated almost with military precision. And it's very difficult, I'm sure, even for Donald Trump to keep up with being hit day after day with new barrages and new crises. It's very hard to have the time to think or react intelligently. And I think I wrote this book. I was told that if I didn't write this book, the plan to remove him was 100% sure of succeeding. Mm. And only by writing it and exposing it do we have any chance of ultimately beating it. And that's my goal. My goal is to defeat this deep state. And they have enormous resources and enormous money. And we have always had very little on our side. So it's a constant battle. But the one unfair advantage I think we have is that, you know, with God, all things are possible.
Yes. I really want to talk about your book, Plan to Remove Donald Trump from the Presidency. On that phone call, you unpacked it a bit, and I realized this is so important. So behind the scenes, we were all working at getting this book to the president, and you got word that he read it. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes, I think there was a major effort made to hand him a copy. It's an ebook and was printed out in the White House, and I'm told very authoritatively that he did read it. In fact, spent quite a bit of time reading it, and I see results of it. I see Donald Trump differences in how he's doing things now before I wrote that book, and he is adapting. It's, you know, I say it's I use this example to explain the importance of this book is that, you know, a couple gets married and the husband does something absolutely unconscionable. And he buys the wife flowers and says, well, he really does love me after all. Well, that works for a while. And maybe it escalates to buying jewelry or taking trips. But finally, the wife says, you know, honey, you better sit down because I've gotten a lawyer and we filed for divorce. And by the way, here's a court order and you now have to leave the house. You better get your own lawyer. I should never have married you. You know, you were never going to be faithful to me and you were never going to do this and this and this. And I'm not putting up with it anymore. So once you've seen through it, it doesn't have the same impact. And you know you're being led by psychologically being, as it were, seduced into behavior that really you would not do if your eyes were open and you understood what was happening. So once Donald Trump sees what's lying in front of him, and I predicted things in this book that have begun to happen. So, you know, I'm saying that they will go for a 25th Amendment attempt to remove Donald Trump from office. And I explained the mechanics of that and explained how John Bolton's book was intended to establish the narrative that Donald Trump is mentally deficient and is erratic and how you counter that. You know, you counter it by saying, basically, John Bolton, whom I've known for 15 years, is only ever wanted to go to war with everybody, especially Iran. And he provided President George W. Bush the information that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. That was critical to our decision to invade Iraq. And you can look and see how that's turned out.
Yeah.
I've said war in the Middle East is always the problem, never the solution, because it only intensifies. And then you have one war, and then you fight that war over the next war. And this group lost these people, and that group lost these sons and husbands and daughters and all the rest of it. And they fight that for another generation. Basically, the removing of the economic sanctions, the removing of all the economics the terror regime needs to have in place is far more effective and has a deeper reach on the people who themselves begin questioning whether this regime, the mullahs in this case, have legitimacy or are leading them into destruction. That's a far more effective way than trying to placate Iran or trying to go to war with Iran. War with Iran would only feed their cause. And so I basically have said, you can pick up any page of Bolton's book, and all he's doing is he's saying that President Trump didn't take my advice here, or he had a different style. You know, he said he wanted to meet with these people, and I didn't, you know, you don't want to meet with them. When he met with them, he would, it's like at the top of his head. Well, you know, Donald Trump would often say he's going to do something just to see how his staff reacts. And Bolton, who expected that he was now going to be the national security director, and that gave him a position of authority, and he was going to be in charge of national security policy, forgot that he was an advisor. And that, you know, President Trump, John Bolton's position is not in the Constitution. State Department has the same problem. They think that their interagency agreements are what the president need, and if the president doesn't follow their interagency directives, then the president needs to be impeached. Well, you could move the State Department to Death Valley, for all that matter, or close it all together. It's not in the Constitution. We don't need a State Department to run the government. And people have to come to see these things. And this book is designed so you understand that the techniques of the black, you know, Muslim radicals in the Middle East in the Arab Spring are identical to the tactics that they're applying with Antifa and Black Lives Matters in the streets of the United States. And I can take you through how the events are staged, what their different purposes is, how they use them to radicalize. And these events are all aimed at a coup d'etat, at removing Donald Trump from office, because the deep state, the left, the Marxists, those who hate God, they've gone all in. It's like in poker terms, they put all their chips into this hand. They're going to play this hand, and win or lose, they're going to play, and they don't intend to lose. If they have to kill a quarter of the population of the world, it's inconsequential to them. If they have to have a nuclear holocaust, it's inconsequential to them. That's how, and it's a spiritual battle. This is not a power of entities that we see in this world. This is fundamental evil. It's a fundamental denial. You know, it's like Saul Alinsky dedicated his book Rules to Radicals to Lucifer. Mm. And he said for his rebellion, he was awarded a kingdom. Mm. Well, the kingdom was hell. And what we're, you know, these things I say also have a boomerang effect. And so you're now watching, the Democrats are now running their 2020 presidential campaign, and it's being run in the streets. If you like what you see, they intend to bring this to your neighborhood. And you want Antifa in the living room, rearranging your books and you're harassing your family. They will do it because it's a revolutionary. It's a Maoist Red Guard revolutionary cultural revolution. We're in a cultural revolution right now, and its fundamental point is to dethrone God. Mm-hmm. To put in a, you know, any kind of an orientation you can think of, you know, whether it is has to do with sex, whether it has to do with, and the this is not a civil rights protest. I mean, I'm old enough, I saw in person Martin Luther King. I knew what he wanted, equal rights. Okay, now this is about a kind of reverse racism. They want whites to kneel to blacks. They mm-hmm. want to have the power relationships of race turn to destroy the society, destroy capitalism, destroy any kind of idea of family structure or any kind of idea of traditional morals. And it's win or lose. They want to fight it now because they want to win so their totalitarian, intolerant state can be imposed on the rest of us.
Yeah, wow, you've said so much. I'm taking notes. You could write a book about each point you made just now. I mean, you packed that whole little couple paragraphs with a ton of information that's vitally important for people to understand. I'm going to try to unpack it just slightly. You said something quite shocking. You said that they don't care if they kill one-fourth of the people of the world. Now, if you go to the Georgia Guidestones, and people don't know this, but on the Georgia Guidestones, some people say that's the satanic Ten Commandments of these people. We've read the Communist Manifesto. We know their bullet points that they do intend to destroy the family unit. The reason being, if they can destroy the connection that the child has to the parent, disconnect that and plug it into the state, then they're just little slaves and they do exactly what the state says. That's the authority that they need to obey. And they're chipping away at the family unit. And there's a lot of other things you said, but back to the killing of one quarter of the population, the Georgia Guidestones, the first of their 10 commandments that they have translated into 8 different languages on those stones, hidden in plain sight, right? But the first of the 10 points that they have there is that they must take the earth population down to 500 million. Now, the Lord Jesus himself in John 10:10 said, the thief came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Those are his war tactics. And we see that happening. Now it's being rolled out openly in our streets. They were subtly doing one little step at a time. But all of a sudden they pushed, and I think they pushed too hard, and I think the momentum belongs to us and we will win. But Jesus, in contrast, said that I came to give you life and give it to you abundantly. So that's what we're fighting for. And it's the truth that will set the prisoner free. And you have the truth clearly in this book, which I'm so intrigued by, the plan to remove Donald Trump from presidency. The speech that he had, Doc, the other night, did you watch his rally? That was amazing.
Yes, I did watch the rally.
So many. Yep. Just let me tell you one quote, and then I want you to pick up from here. You were talking, this is another point you said, the war in the Middle East is a problem. It's not a solution. The president, did you hear him when he said that they want to drop bombs because that makes them money. This is a military industrial complex. And we've heard that before. For him to say that was a very bold, bold move. And it was heard around the world, that statement.
Well, I think Donald Trump is, I think he's more spiritually aware than he has ever been in his life. And he is not a saint. But then, of course, you know, St. Paul, until the road to Damascus, wasn't a saint either. And so it's not necessary that, you know, a person have a pure life. He was a celebrity, and he lived the life of a celebrity, and he was a playboy. But I think he's resolved to come to God, and he's understanding now that the responsibilities he's facing and dealing with are, you know, this is a almost an anointing to have been, to have won the way he won. I've written this book, so when you read this book, it's designed to kind of reframe. In other words, you're not going to be able to look at things the same. You're going to see now more from the inside of what's happening. And part of this is the techniques today of managing media and manipulating public opinion. So, you know, when Bolton's book comes out, it's not just Bolton's book, but you have the talking points distributed to all of the print and television and radio media that's going to attack Trump, and that's coordinated. And then you begin to reinforce the meeting, so the message. So out comes Scaramucci, who was in the White House for a very short time and thrown out, quite frankly. He'll come in and say that Trump was erratic. They'll repeat the themes. When the general said that they, you know, when Esper came out at the beginning of June and said he was not going to use the military if he could avoid it, even under an insurrection act invocation by the president, because he wanted to protect the freedom to speak and assembly of the protesters, the peaceful. I'm looking around and said, what peaceful protesters?
Yeah.
Antifa.
Yeah.
This is Black Lives Matter. These are Maoists. They're paid.
Well, that you could burn a church down, but you can't go to church. That's one of many things that we see.
Yes,
this
another
is vanity.
Or you can have all the, there's no social distancing or
right,
any other masks. Form, masks or anything. The demonstrators, they can be, you know, as crowded together as they want, and there's no imposition of any rules. But the minute you open up a society to allow people to go back to work, well, New York is saying, well, there's new cases in, you know, Alabama, so we're not going to let anybody from Alabama come into the state of New York. Well, how are you going to prevent that? You know, like, are the police now going to be tasked with anyone with an Alabama license plate is going to be stopped and questioned? Are you going to have your proof of antibodies or immunity in order
to... What about the defund the police? Who are they going to use? And we talked about this on a phone call, Doc. You said that it's not that they want to get rid of the police. What is it that they want to do?
Well, they want to be the police. They want themselves right. to be the police. They want to be the enforcers of this cultural agenda they have. So you know, when you have a fire in your home, Antifa is going to show up as the fire department. They're going to search your house and see, you know, what you believe in, and they may end up harassing your family and letting the house burn to the ground because they don't think, you know, you don't fit politically, or better yet, they will have determined that in advance because you'll be given a social media score based on how you utilize the internet. And if there's any indication you believe in Jesus Christ, your credit cards aren't going to work anymore.
This is the mark of the beast. This is the mark of the beast.
Yeah, somebody in your family has a debt. Well, then, you know, the husband was gambling on the internet. You didn't know it. And so, they put a debt lien on you and your car drives itself back to the dealer, you know, and then you try to get back into your house and the door is locked. You can't get into your own home because it's all tracked and electronically you're on a grid. You're living in a Truman Show and they're watching. And with the technology, the way it is, you can be tracked. Every step of your life can be recorded to be replayed to you at any other moment or to be used to, stigmatize you so you are no longer able to function in society. And we're headed to that kind of a system. Now, when I talk about a quarter of the people dying, my book on the COVID-20. And, you know, I'm not a medical scientist and I'm not an MD, but I'm an investigative reporter. I began hearing that Fauci and is talking about a resurgence of COVID. Well, to me, I'm watching China, and China's got a new virus going in Beijing, and they say it's coming from fish, from salmon. Well, that's a different virus, because the first one they said was coming from
bats.
Now, I looked at this and I said, okay, and the CDC and the NIH are not government agencies. They are public-private partnerships with a 501c3. And they get money from the Gates Foundation and Big Farm. And people like Fauci get patents on treatments for diseases. And Fauci has patents on treatments for this HIV-1 pathogen, which is the AIDS disease, and it goes back 30 years or more. And he has his patents deal with this glycoprotein 120, which is a particular glycoprotein that's in the spikes of COVID-19. Now, it doesn't belong there because that's an HIV element in a SARS, which is a lung attack. And so I just began saying, well, let's take all Fauci's patents and see what happens. So there's also what they call this little integrin. It's a little amino structure that goes in the envelope of the virus, and it tells the virus, the pathogen, where to go. And this particular pathway is to your intestines, and what it will do is go through a CD4 receptor, and that will kill the T cells. So it's a very lethal attack on your immune system. And then the SARS attack hits your lungs, but it also releases a certain dormant bacteria, the chlamydia bacteria, which causes pneumonia, and that attacks your cardiac system. And so you begin to have a cardiac disturbance, and the hemoglobin in your lungs doesn't absorb oxygen. They put you on a ventilator, it's pumping oxygen into you, but they're just damaging your lungs. That's not the problem. And so this next virus, I'm saying, unless you can get hydroxychloroquine and zinc, and that's what the doctors are saying, you need to, you know, do prophylaxis, to do prevention. And of course, Fauci and the medical establishment have demonized this 75-year-old medicine, and there's studies which were fraudulent, giving hydroxychloroquine to people who were already sick, very sick, and that's the least efficacious moment to give it to them. So we're being denied, and I created this telemed program so they can have access to a doctor who can prescribe hydroxychloroquine, because it's still an approved FDA medication. It can be used off-label by a doctor who wants to prescribe it for a patient who wants to take it for COVID-19. But they're not going to tell you that, and they're going to try to get the state doctors to be afraid to prescribe hydroxychloroquine for COVID. No problem for lupus or rheumatoid arthritis. And so it's a conscious effort to prevent the U.S. population from getting what we need to be vulnerable either to a resurgence of COVID-19 or to a new virus. And I don't think that's accidental, because, again, it's let's say a quarter of the people get this virus and die. Well, these deep state monsters aren't going to care. Governor Cuomo, New York, put COVID-19 ill patients in nursing homes.
Yes. One of five Democratic governors that did this. And a lot died.
You know, the obvious is they're going to kill old people. Well, they think old people are useless. They're going to die anyway. They don't have much social utility left. So why are we spending all this money keeping them alive? And this is a convenient way to make sure they get sick and die. And then we're going to have them quarantined so the family doesn't get to come into the nursing home. The family, which might be caring and loving and saying, you know, why is mom being denied this care, grandma, when, you know, the person is basically left there to die with no help.
You know, I just want to say to that, this is so frustrating for me. Grandmother Bollinger, we actually, she fell, she was in her late 80s and then into her 90s and she kept falling and breaking bones. And so they put her in rehab. Then they put her in a nursing home to recover, and it broke my heart. I was pregnant. I had a couple children, going to see her Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, just so she knew she was loved, but it broke my heart to see there were people in the nursing home that were laying on beds in the hallway, barely covered and abandoned. This is what we're doing to the older generation of people that have worked hard. They've had children, they've raised grandchildren. And what do we do at the end of their life? We take away their dignity and the purpose for even living.
It's also demeaning to the people who are doing this. In other words, only dehumanized human beings would behave this way. I mean, Cuomo shows himself to be a monster that he would even think to do something like this. But the point is that once a society gets conditioned to that nursing homes are normal, you know, well, then they've already conditioned people to think that when, you know, your parents, grandparents get old, they're useless. You got to park them somewhere. You know, typically when the family structures were strong, a family would be multi-generational. Mm-hmm. And the parents who got to be old would be cared for within the home until they passed away. And it would be loving care. Now, again, families sometimes got help. There were parish structures. There were congregations that could come together and work together as a unit to make sure that the various members of the congregation had what they needed in order to keep the families strong and keep the families healthy. Today, you know, you start with an attack on God. And of course, if you look at the social engineering of any of these programs, including communism has been out front about its agenda from the very beginning to destroy God, to take over the school systems, to confuse the sexes so that we now have to talk about gender and not sex. You know, male, female is pretty simple. But today, gender is unlimited and undefined. And you deal with rights. Well, you know, Martin Luther King wanted equal rights. These people want retribution. They want affirmative action. They want a social justice agenda, which is designed to subjugate someone or take from someone to give to another. Well, that type of principle has never worked in human society, because the idea, you know, give me your money, I can spend it better than you can, if presented honestly, is not something any rational person would agree to. But within communism, attacking private partnership and aligning it with, you know, they run these narratives. So there were slaveholders and founded by slaveholders, and the Lincoln statue in Washington, D.C., where a black person is kneeling, is not to be reverenced because Lincoln went to emancipate slaves, but
right.
The fact that he...
I saw that.
Okay, and so all these things become weapons.
Yes.
Okay, and we've got to understand that once the language is controlled by the left, and it doesn't matter if there's truth. There was no truth in the Russian collusion, and they knew it, but they're happy to fabricate a lie and get that lie believed. And today, yet there are people, I'm sure Nadler or Schiff would be happy to say, well, we just didn't look hard enough. I'm sure we can find Russian collusion. The books being written to attack Trump are still trying to implicate him with Putin. I've got two or three of them I'm reading right now to see what they're doing. But the point is, when I wrote this book, and I wrote these two books so that you've got to know the truth of what's happening. And you've got to see that this is a conscious plan that, you know, we're going to go through these various attacks on Trump. Then we're going to create a reaction to the virus, which destroys the economy. We're going to be keeping people, depriving them of their freedoms and getting them to think they have to deprive themselves of freedoms or they're going to die. Mm. Look, we're not born in biohazard suits. God didn't make us born in little biohazard suits. If it had been necessary to our survival, God would have had us born in these biohazard suits.
And the mask, and
you're born naked.
Yes.
And you're born naked because that's how you come into the world, and now you've got to be able to cope with the world. And that demands you have a immune system that is tested. And yes, we can do things to assist the immune system, but there's lots of natural remedies. Mm-hmm. There's lots of things like this hydroxychloroquine and zinc. There's lots of other vitamins, vitamin D, it's right, all these things that can be done. But people have to be conscious of it. You have to say, look, I'm going to avoid comorbidity. Well, how do you do that? Well, first of all, I'm not going to gain 50 pounds I don't need. And if I have, I'm going to get rid of them. And maybe I don't need sugar in my diet. There are very practical things that people can do to lower their blood pressure, to live more in a healthy way, to test their immune systems, and to have them withstand these diseases. Now, even with these bioengineered diseases, it's another threshold because they are weaponized. And I'm saying the one that's coming next is going to be very, very lethal.
The second wave, we've talked about that. So we see the problem. What is the solution? What is your proposal?
Well, I mean, I several things. Donald Trump is doing some of the things I've proposed. And I don't give a lot of real specific examples. He doesn't need them. He'll figure it out as he goes along. When he sees how this play is written, he can change the ending. I mean, I used to consult with the federal government on the 1980s on terrorism. I was always an expert on political violence and terrorism, and did a computer model, predicted the outcomes of terrorist events, and was recruited into doing this work with the government. And I used to say terrorists are like a bad playwright. They have a great opening of the play. You know, everybody, the robbers come in and they've got guns and they tell the bankers and everybody, hands up and give me the money. But the problem is that they have a lousy second act and they don't have a conclusion. So your job is to come in and write the second act and to show them how the play ends. Okay, so the second act is, okay, guys, you got the money. Now, well, we got a getaway car. We're getting, well, but you know, I'm not so sure I trust your getaway driver because we just arrested him. And we got the bank surrounded here. Now, you know, okay, where are you going to go? Well, we're going to start killing hostages. Well, I don't think you want to do that. How about if we get you some sandwiches? There's techniques. And what you finally make them realize is that this play is not going to end the way they thought it was going to end. Mm. Okay, now that's Donald Trump's got to begin engineering that. And it also helps to understand the real spiritual dynamics here. That is that I point out in this book, and I write about it pretty extensively in the plan to stop, you know, to remove Donald Trump from the presidency, that I wrote about Harry Truman, because Harry Truman in 1947 had a decision to make whether or not to allow the partition of Palestine, which was the creation of the State of Israel at the end of World War II. And he had not been elected president. He was president because FDR died in the first months of his fourth term, and Harry Truman, his vice president, took over. And Harry Truman was opposed by everyone. I mean, George Marshall, who was the general who was appointed by FDR to fight World War II at home, a major job, was now the Secretary of State for Harry Truman. And Marshall came over from the State Department and told Harry if he allowed Israel to be created, George Marshall would never vote for another Democrat. And Truman said, well, you'll have to do what you have to do. Well, Truman did decide to allow Israel to be created. Donald Trump has done a similar thing, because I think that was a biblical decision that Harry Truman made, because it allowed the creation of the State of Israel, which was biblically predetermined. And Donald Trump moved our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, recognized that as a biblically important event. Donald Trump had gone to Israel. He had prayed at the wall. He'd been to Yad Vashem, the Holocaust memorial. He said that there is an eternal bond between the Israeli people and the Jews and Israel. This was a Jewish state, and Donald Trump was proclaiming it as a Jewish state. Okay, now, Donald Trump's faced with a similar election where everybody's going to say he's going to lose. And if there is an election, I'm not 100% sure there will be an election, by the way. I think that's yet to be determined.
Hold on. Before you continue, can you unpack that a bit, or do you want to wait?
I want to wait because Donald Trump, I think, will win despite all of the odds. Because again, as I said, with God, all things are possible. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that the person who created a biblically important event for the state of Israel is going to not going to be abandoned by God. And the same thing with Harry Truman. I think it'll be a second time when everybody expects Donald Trump to lose, and yet he will rally people and he will win. But the spiritual part and having that spiritual confidence is important for Donald Trump, because it will center him again on, he hates to lose. And yeah. So this is going to center him again on winning. And he starts thinking that way. He's going to win. Now, also in this book, and there's lots in this book that is not apparent the first time you read it, because it's, you know, I made it so you can read it in a short period of time. It'll kind of hit you in different pieces as you think about it. But I'm saying that the Democrats are, and by the way, the Democrat Party is gone. These are Marxists. These are Maoists, more appropriately. And you say you're libertarians. Well, the Republican and Democratic Party are gone, because most of the Republican establishment was in fundamental agreement with the traditional Democratic Party. They liked the benefits that they had in Washington. They liked the money. They liked the bureaucracy. They liked the control. And they really had no intention of doing anything but expanding their power, staying forever, and getting hugely wealthy on the people, the United States, who were systematically being abused in socialist schemes of, you know, give money for this, money for this, money for that, welfare, etc., universal health care, more government, more government, more government. The Democrats are the heart. The left is going to plan to do voting by proxy, by mail-in ballots, absentee ballots.
It's a fraud.
They plan to steal enough of those to win. Unless these things are cracked and exposed in advance, and I think by September, if we have this COVID-20 hitting again and a continued shutdown of the economy, it's not just the people in the nursing homes. It's families who can't pay their mortgages. It's families who don't know how they're going to make the bills. You begin to get domestic, people. It's great for a while if everybody's home and you're dealing with your spouse on a 24-hour basis. But when the economics are difficult, marriages are strained. Mm. And it's almost inevitable that they're going to be strained. It takes a very strong couple to be able to manage through that together. It takes a real commitment to one another, which can't begin in the moment of the crisis. It has to begin much earlier. And as we see these things unfold, we could have violence in the streets continuing. I don't see these Antifa, and they're paid.
Yes.
They're extorting corporations. They go into the square where George Floyd was killed, and they say, well, we're going to occupy this Wendy's and we're going to burn it down and we're going to have Antifa up front and we're going to make it an occupied zone. And by the way, we like all the rest of Wendy's restaurants. And if the corporate of Wendy's will just take a knee to Black Lives Matter, profess our ideology and pay us a lot of money, well, that's extortion racket. That's protection. The mafia moving in and saying, we like your store, pay us and we won't trash it. And yet they're got
I've seen that troubling with Chick-fil-A, VeggieTales,
sure,
companies like that coming out and supporting this movement. I'm so shocked.
National Football League. I mean,
yes.
And because they don't want to be called racist. They don't want to be demonized by Black Lives Matter. Okay. And that's a very powerful club that is being used in a mafia-like fashion. So, you know, by the time they bend the corporate culture to their Maoist agenda, if they look like they're going to lose and they go insane at the end here, I think the next aspect of, and I write about this in this ebook, I say that what happened in Maidan, what happened in various of these in Tahrir Square, the supporters of Mubarak come through with camels and they kill a few of the protesters. In Maidan Square, snipers killed 50 of the protesters. They blame it on the president whom they wanted to depose. It goes insane. The military comes in, burning, looting, goes complete chaos, and the president leaves in exile. So the next step is whatever incidents can be created or concocted or exploited, Blame on, it was, you know, the white supremacists who killed these Black Lives Matters. White supremacists who came in as thugs to beat us up in the occupied zone. So next you'll have the demonization of the white supremacists. And, you know, now you've got the beginnings of a civil war. You've already got people moving out of New York City. Why am I going to pay all this exorbitant rent? And I can't even go to a restaurant. You know, it's a crime to go outside your door unless, of course, you want to protest for Antifa. Right.
We have heard from many Black people that say, this is not me. And we've seen many white people that are dressed in Antifa and the Black people coming and saying, please stop. You're an embarrassment to who I am.
Well, I've been exposing the social media and I discuss it. So you've got, they think they're real clever. I've just been in my daily news podcast in Corsi Nation. I've been showing people that, for instance, Anonymous, this group Anonymous, has linked up together with Black Lives Matter and a couple of other communist Chinese groups supported TikTok and this K-pop, which is a Korean pop culture fad. And they went on and tried to reserve all the seats in Tulsa. That's why so many seats were empty. And they organized and blocked the people from getting in and harassed them. It was an organized suppression attempt, and it worked. But I've shown how, even in my own tweets, when I pointed out that it was the Soros group, together with Anonymous, for instance, who was trying to promote certain hashtags about Iran in January, which we're supporting, you know, that we're not going to attack Iran, that we're going to keep the Obama deal together. They removed those, and it was supporting, there was an interaction between Jack Dorsey and Twitter supporting and promoting Antifa, Anonymous, this group Anonymous.
Yes.
Which became solidly anti-Trump. Okay.
I saw that early on. And I was so confused by that because I thought years ago they were of the truth. And then I saw lies coming out of it. And I thought, what happened?
Well, they got co-opted again. And some of the original people in it were arrested. And now what they are doing is they are trying to, for instance, tie Trump into Russian oligarchs and tie him with Epstein, that he's a pedophile. Well, there's no basis for it, but I show how they create that narrative, how it comes out then in books written anti-Trump, how it's all coordinated, so the mess, and Dorsey's supporting it. Now, I'm also saying in that same packaging, for Trump to spend any money at all on Facebook for advertising, Zuckerberg will take his money.
Yeah,
he'll meet with him in the White House and talk happy talk, but they'll suppress Donald Trump. And all Donald Trump has done is finance the anti-Trump movement with his own fundraising. And so therefore, any money spent on these platforms by the president or by conservatives, and they're going to spend a ton of it on these platforms in 2020 right now, is feeding the enemy. Now, when I point this out, and I point out, you know, say to Donald Trump, okay, look, you're being banned, and here's how. And then they finally do ban something from Donald Trump. Okay, now, Trump is saying, finally, we've got this issue of the Section 230 being challenged. We've got Barr looking at antitrust. And I'm going to continue to expose how they, and as is James O'Keefe, it's just I'm kind of down into the nuts and bolts of how these groups work together on the internet and promote each other and show you the Chinese bot farms and how they're bragging about getting the tickets and how this works, how your numbers are suppressed and how the bot farms hit all the numbers for Anonymous and give it wide visibility and showing that this is not an equal platform of any kind. And it is so biased that even to enter into it now, you know, movements have started to go into Parlor instead of going on to Twitter. Now, Twitter could lose an enormous amount of money and Jack Dempsey could face criminal charges. Okay, and I'm intending to set that basis up. Just like with the Mueller prosecutors, I've named them by name. You know, they tried to put me in prison. I said they've done the same thing to me as they did to General Flynn. They were suborning perjury. Put a gun to General Flynn's head and said, if you don't sign this piece of paper and say you lied, we'll pull the trigger. Well, that's KGB. That's Gestapo. It's not. And so we need to have the criminal investigation of the prosecutors because they're the criminals. Okay. And they're still employed by the Department of Justice. I'm counting down and my saying it today is day 860, whatever. Barr has been attorney general and still no indictments.
Yeah.
I'm saying I support the Q movement, but Q has become a psychop. Trust Sessions, sealed indictments, sealed all these promises that never happened. Those are designed in order to get the Q group, which are known to be patriots, to relax, to
stand trust, down.
To stand down. And yeah. I'm saying, no, the only thing I trust is indictments. I don't want to know where they are.
Yes.
And I don't want to wait for people to be indicted until everybody's dead. So, right. You know, again, these are steps that we can take that require understanding how the left operates and understanding how they don't intend to play fair. They do intend to steal elections. They're going to try to steal this one, and how it may come down to such chaos if they hint that they're going to lose. Polls are inaccurate. They're running the same narratives. Donald Trump is losing 15 yeah. points. You look at Joe Biden.
I remember that.
Joe Biden's in early stages of dementia.
Yeah.
You know, and now the problems that are being exposed by Biden, including in Ukraine, the information coming out that is conversations that have been recorded between Biden and Poroshenko and the detailed stealing of money. Billions of dollars. Now, Biden's not going to be able to skate past this. Okay, but these things coming out are not, you know, they're set up the basis right now where if Biden does win, he can be indicted. And they can put whomever they want then in president, have the vice president become president. These things are being deeply manipulated.
Tell us about what your thoughts are with the election. How do we win against those crooks? We know their playbook. How do we win?
Well, first of all, we're going to have to say if there's going to be voting by mail, there's not going to be an election. And I think it's 50-50. There just won't be an election this year. There's going to be too much chaos. As I say, the boomerang effect, what I want, when Jack pulled down that video censoring Trump, he might have thought he won. He just showed Trump, this guy's a criminal.
Yeah.
Okay, Trump saw that, and so did Barr. So did I. Mm-hmm. Now they see what they're how they're promoting Anonymous. Well, I've just demonstrated that. Yesterday, they extended Assange's indictment to include that he was working with Anonymous. That's not accidental. I exposed it. Now, every time we're exposing these things and people see it, again, as I say, you know, they're running naked to the fetish line, and it's very much like the parable of the emperor with no clothes. It may take a child, but the child's going to say, Daddy, that he doesn't have any clothes on.
Yeah.
Well, people are going to see them in the streets and say, this is the future they want me to live in. Even, they're going to even lose black voters. We're going to say middle-class black voters. There's not going to be any police to defend them.
Right.
You know, who's going to defend the old and the helpless and the black communities?
Right.
They're going to let Antifa shake them down and, you know, the Black Lives Matters abandon them and attack them, beat them brutally. Who's going to defend them? There's not going to be any police. And people are saying, you know, the former people were with the original Black Lives Matter before. Of course, it was almost Maoist from the beginning. But they're saying, you know, we want a political party. Well, the Democratic political party is dead. It's now a Maoist party. John Kennedy would have nothing to do with this party, or Hubert Humphrey. These are not traditional liberals. These are radical socialists.
Yes.
This is Saul Alinsky. And the subtle things like, okay, General Flynn, now it looks like we'll be not having to be indicted by a judge because the circuit court mandated that the case has to be dropped. And it's got a couple more possibilities of being revived. But the same day, the permanent now director of national intelligence, John Ratcliffe, makes public this handwritten memo by Peter Strzok, which shows that in January 2017, on the eve of Trump being inaugurated, Barack Obama holds a meeting and they plan to target General Flynn. And Biden is in that meeting suggesting the Logan Act. Now that's proof Biden was part of the conspiracy. That's a crime right there. A crime has been documented, and Radcliffe forced Barr to release that. which means Radcliffe is signaling you're going to go to jail. Okay, now that means if we win the election, we're coming after you for treason. So you guys want to play a high-stakes game. You want to go all in, we're all in. Okay, now, as I say, that's a game we'd lose because the communists have these techniques and they'll go to extremes, make people feel so afraid. Just get rid of Donald Trump, it'll all stop, and that'll be a persuasive argument. Except that with God, all things are possible.
Yes.
The boomerang effect where people see it and the potential out now of a great enslavement or a great awakening is upon us. It's going to be one or the other. And people have got to decide which world they want to live in.
You know,
and that's what I'm trying to say to them. You got a choice here now.
Uh-huh.
And you better see your choice because you're going to have door A or door B.
Yeah.
Those are the only two you can pick. And you got to pick one. You pick door B. Here's what you're unleashing. Every demon who's ever thought about tormenting you will do it here on earth. Or open door A and we'll put the devils back in their prison, hell, and we'll get this organized where we can follow God's laws and take your pick. But it's going to come upon people where it may take one out of every four people dying in the streets before we get there. Mm. And that's what I'm trying to warn people about, because when it happens, I don't want it to have been a surprise as if they weren't expecting it. It's the same as saying to the young bride, if you're a parent or a grandparent, you better look at this, honey, because if he did it once, he's going to do it again. And it take a parent to wake up a young bride's eyes. That's, again, what we have to have here. I'm saying we're going to be faced with a very, very severe virus. The violence in the streets is going to intensify. The shakedown of business is going to be magnified. And this isn't going to go away. It's going to become worse. And as it becomes worse, remember that's what I said it was going to do, and understand it's engineered and you can reverse it with someone standing up for God and someone standing up for justice. It won't take very many.
Well, that's a lot of information, Doc. I'm with you 100%. I think that the win is right at our fingertips. We just need to wake up the sleeping giant that's out there, and people are waking up. What do you propose? We're drawing near the time that we have to close this interview, but I definitely want to talk again because we have a lot more to talk about.
I'll be happy to come back anytime you ask.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. What would you propose our listener? What can they take away that's positive, maybe a point of action, something that they can do? What is the plan what does that look like?
The first thing is to absorb the information that we're putting out, you're putting out, and to think about it. I charge for ebooks because people don't read books that they don't pay for. And I would rather that fewer people got it, but the people who got it read it. The people who are getting this book are going to read it because some of them are even having trouble downloading it. It's easy to do, but if you don't know and I've got my numbers there, and they can call us and we'll get them the book. Now, if they call us because they can't download it, that person's going to read the book. Okay, and that's what I want. Because I want them to pursue the truth. If they start pursuing the truth, they won't stop until they get it.
We need everyone to pursue the truth. That's why everything we do has the truth in the name. We're trying to give the world the truth on a silver platter because we know the formulation, God is the way, the truth, and the life. This is what we're bringing to the people. The way, the truth, and the life. The truth sets the prisoner free. And they just need to understand what that truth is.
And I want to add one element to that.
Yeah.
It's also the knock, and it'll be opened up to you.
Yes.
It's not just the offering. They've got to knock. They've got to want to know. You got to say, why are we going through this? So knock on the door and ask the question, and it'll be opened unto you.
Ask, seek, knock. And the Lord says in Hebrews chapter 11, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is the truth. And so those who seek it will find it when they search for it with all of their heart. So
I've got to go.
We encourage everyone. Okay, we're okay. Going to say bye to you. Thank you, everyone.
And CorsiNation.com and In the End, God Does Always Win. We'll be back
we'll
with you.
Include the links below. Click them and check them out. Thank you, Doc. Have a great day.
You
bye.
Too. Have a great weekend. And just call me to come back again. I'll be delighted to be with you. Thank you. God
I'm
bless.
I'm on it. Thanks, Doc. Bye-bye.